right now from Washington, D.C. Senator, always good to have you. How are things?
They're a mess, don't you watch?
That's our traditional opening here.
We have it playing here. We know how bad it is.
Yes. Well, we trust you're doing okay, at least personally.
I am. And you know, we do have a democracy, and it was never designed to be pretty or easy or slick. I mean, we govern ourselves, and we have disagreements, and we have to get through them. And that's what we're in the business of doing every day.
Well, Senator, let's dive in. I wanted to ask you something that's a big news story, really quick. President Trump is in China right now, talking with Xi Jinping and others, and we'd love your hot take on this.
Well, I think what we all need to do is be patient here for a couple of days. I think the president has some things in mind. In fact, I know he does, and obviously he does not tip his hand when he's going to go out and do things with considerable effect, and so I think we're going to see some announcements come out of here on different things, trade certainly, and other interactions between the two countries, and perhaps on Iran.
All right, let's bounce from that, because at the state dinner that was held, they made comments, meaning Xi made comments about the fact that he was willing to help America and open the Strait of Hormuz. We're in a very fragile ceasefire right now with Iran. Give us your update on that, and if you think China can help.
Well, China definitely can help, because look, China's a friend of Iran. So they're allies. They maintain a relationship that allies have, and not only that, they purchase a good share of the oil that comes out of Iran. They do have influence there, and internally, most people don't realize this, but internally, Iran is a mess right now. The president's correct that we killed off the top tier leadership in the country. And when we're done with that, we killed off the second tier leadership in the country. Well, when that happens, it leaves a vacuum for people pushing and shoving to see who's going to be in charge. And we saw that, you saw a group of that was purporting to represent Iran sit down at the table and made a deal. And, then left, and turns out there was no deal at all because the other factions in the country wouldn't go along with it. So this is the kind of mess that's going on internally there. There's two things that got to be resolved to get Iran over, and that is, number one, their ambitions for a nuclear weapon, and number two, the Straits of Hormuz. The ambitions for a nuclear weapon are long term, and I have a little different take, I think, than a lot of people do on this. I've been working on this since the JCPOA and the Obama years. You can't deal with the Iranians and make an agreement. That doesn't work. They lie, they cheat. If they do get an agreement, they won't stick with it. And so I'm really negative on the on trying to make a deal with them on that. If I were the president, what I'd say is, like, I'm done talking with you. You guys won't make a deal, that's fine. We just want you to know that whatever you do, we're watching. We're watching closely. And if you make any moves to, construct a nuclear weapon or go after the enriched uranium that is buried deep, deep, deep in your country, we're coming back. We're going to do the same thing. And that's the end of that. Then move on to the Straits of Hormuz. That, I think, again, because of the inability to make an agreement, I think the president's going to have to ratchet up the kinetic response to that and open it up ourselves. And I think that's what's going to have to be done. Look, everything I do is always done with, in the back of my mind, how's this going to affect people in Idaho Falls and Coeur d'Alene and in Boise. And right now, the price of fuel is just intolerable for farmers, for single moms, for ordinary families, for everybody. And it's all as a result of the Straits of Hormuz, and that's all the results of the Iranian regime that is so bad. And that's what you need to focus on and get it behind us and have confidence that the president's going to do that and do it fairly quickly.
Let's talk about that price of fuel. One of the ideas to help alleviate a little bit, at least, is a suspension of the federal gas tax, which I understand is around 17 cents. That's great. 17 cents is nice, but that only drops gas from $4.59 a gallon down to $4.42 a gallon. So it's still very expensive. But I guess give us your view of the president's idea to suspend the federal part of the gas tax.
Well, I think it's something that's an easy do. And of course, when you're doing something like this, you start with the easy stuff first. And I haven't met anybody here that's really opposed to that in the legislative branch. It's something that can be done quickly, taken off quickly and put back on quickly, or even just suspended where it doesn't even have to be put back on. It automatically goes back on. But it is de minimis. I mean, that is not the solution to the problem we've got. It may take a slight bit of pain off. Every little bit helps. That is not the solution that we need here.
Okay. I was going to move on to some good news potentially for Idaho. Back in 2020, Senator Daines from Montana had some landmark legislation. It was called Great American Outdoors Act. Now in 2026, he's extended that with the America the Beautiful Act. And Idaho might be the recipient of some good news if this bill passes. Would you like to explain that to us?
Yeah, it's a ongoing effort by all of us that live in out west and love and use our public lands to keep them up. Our friends back east, they don't, and this is not a Republican Democrat thing. This is an east west thing. They don't really realize what a big impact the federal government has on our lives because they own and control most of our federal lands. And the federal government is not always a good landlord, and stuff has not been kept up. So what Steve was trying to do, what we're all trying to do, is to get together and have a method by which we could keep up the maintenance on the buildings, on the docks, on the campgrounds, on the facilities that are there, because they're a forgotten stepchild for the appropriators from back east. So that was the purpose of the act. It's a good act. It's worked well. We're going to continue to focus on it because it's something that is important to Idaho people. Our public lands are our heart and soul, and we need to pay more attention to them.
We're talking with Senator Jim Risch. Senator, really quick follow-up on that $82 million that may come our way for public lands, what can that money be used for? What would that $82 million do?
It's got a really broad brush so that whatever is necessary on public lands, particularly recreational facilities, it can be used for. If the restrooms need to be redone, if the campground needs to be redone, if fire pits need to be done, if roads need to be paved. It is a broad brush, and what you have to do is leave it up to the people on the ground to prioritize what's the thing falling apart the most. Where should we focus most? You got to do that, but it's a broad brush, and the public should have input into this. If they need to when they're camping or what have you, and see something, write a letter to the forester or something like that. Say, look, this needs attention, and that's what it's intended to do.
So I as a conservative senator, and I'm sure you feel the same way, I ask you this next question with fingers crossed, but the most recent polling is showing pretty good for the Republicans as we head into the midterm in both the Senate and the House, especially when you figure in the redistricting situation that's happening, especially on the House side. I just love your general thoughts. Here we are a few months away from the midterms. What are the Republicans' prospects for holding on to the majority?
Well, I wish it was a few months. It's actually 6 months that we're away from the midterm. But it's been up and down over the last couple of years. Right now, we are looking significantly more optimistic at it. The nonsense in the rules they had for redistricting has been revisited by the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court has laid out new rules that are undeniably quite helpful to us. In the Senate, look. If you're a Democrat, you're on the outside right now. You don't have the White House. You don't have the House. You don't have the Senate. So you really have no control. So they are going to focus on something. Obviously, it can't be the White House because it's not up. So that'll be the House or the Senate. The House is always subject to the whims of what's the economy doing at the time, and I suspect they are going to focus on the House. They got to flip 4 seats in the Senate in order to take over the Senate. That is a heavy, heavy lift. You just don't flip seats easily in the Senate. Some do flip, but flipping 4 is a Herculean task. It just doesn't happen that often, and particularly under circumstances where we are today.
So really the big concern is centered around the House then?
I think that's where the fight's going to be. I think that's what you watch. I mean, if the Wizard of Oz on the Democrat side looks at the seats, and you look at them one by one, okay, and you look at a Senate seat, what's it going to take to flip this? Well, we have one, for instance, up in Ohio. There's going to be over $200 million spent on each side, maybe as much as $250 million on each side. So to get that one House, to get that one Senate seat. Now, if you're going to spend $250 million on a Senate seat, you can go over to the House and you can do really well in about a half, take that money and do really well and be a lot more competitive in about a half a dozen seats. So I think the cash is going to be more freely available to House seats than they are to the Senate seats, because, like I say, they got to have one. They sit around the table saying, "How do we get one of these?" Because then you can hamstring the Republicans, you know. And the other reason they'd like to have the House is if they can get the House, it's going to be just like Trump won. You're going to have impeachment after impeachment after impeachment. The House will impeach. He'll come to the Senate. He'll be acquitted. But in the meantime, the American people are sitting there saying, "Hey, how about somebody governing instead of fighting over politics?" But that's what's going to happen if the House flips, and that would be they would love nothing more than that. And it's a bonus for them because they hate Trump so much. I can't come by to explain the animosity and the heat and the vitriol they have for President Trump. And this gives them the ability to impeach him. So I'd watch the House. I think I think the House is where the action is going to be.
Okay. All right. We'll leave it at that. Senator Jim Risch, our guest this morning. Always a pleasure, Senator. We appreciate you making time for us regularly.
Guys, good to talk to you, guys and ladies. Thanks. Thanks, Julie.
All right.
Good job as always. Thanks, guys.
All right.